This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Tuesday, April 2nd, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Mike, the Fantasy Hitman Wright, is here.
Yep.
Jason Moore, he made it in.
What a do.
I'm Andy Holloway. We're jumping into rookie previews on the show today. Quarterbacks, running backs, getting you ready for the draft, which is just 23 days away.
This is one of the most fun times of the year for me. The pre-NFL draft, talking about incoming rookies before they've got landing spots. I really enjoy it. I like learning the new players and teaching the new players. That's what we're doing.
Our listeners about them.
Yes, exactly.
They don't attend a class where you're a professor.
They're here now.
It sounded very much like you were offering
I thought all
them.
The rookies showed up at like a special place and time.
Right, and I teach them everything.
Fantasy value?
Yes.
How to produce?
You need to catch the ball, okay? I don't care what your coach says. You go in there and you tell him, I need to catch the ball.
If you're a running back and you don't have good hands, you get good hands.
That's right. I mean, that's what their coaches should be saying.
You never coached Jordan Howard the way you should have. 23 days until the NFL draft. We have really big things planned. I will leave it at that. We're going to have a lot of fun with the NFL draft as it pertains to fantasy football. And you can check out our pride and joy, the Ultimate Draft Kit at ultimatedraftkit.com. That includes our tier-based rankings, all of our premium stat projections. It'll include over 100 video player profiles, cheat sheets, sleepers, breakouts, busts, and values, all of that stuff. And if you get the UDK Plus, you also enjoy the Dynasty Pass, as well as the Draft Analyzer. So once you do draft, we will break down your team, give it a grade, strengths and weaknesses, and we include the Ultimate DFS Pass as well if you play any DFS. So all of that you can check out at ultimatedraftkit.com. I encourage you to do it now, not later, because pre-order pricing will end when it comes out.
And it gives you more time to check out all these rookies even before the NFL draft.
All right, Instagram question for our quick question of the day. Dave writes in and says, with so many free agent shakeups, how do you even go about trying to decide who will be relevant this year? So Dave is feeling the swirl. A lot of players went into the
this year was wild.
Went into the dryer and they got all mixed up and came out with different jerseys.
Yeah, and it turns out someone put a red shirt in the wash. So now all these players come out with different color
pink shirts.
Yeah, with pink shirts on. How do we try to go about deciding who will be relevant this year? The try to go about the process, if that's what the question is. You know, we've talked about this every year, but it's really for the Ultimate Draft Kit, we stat these guys out. We wait until after the draft is done, the free agency shakeup has happened, and then we go team by team and actually try to look at every depth chart, history, coaching, change and coaching history, and then we stat out the entire team front to back players who aren't going to be drafted and players who are, and then it kind of – it's nice because in the end of that, it takes a lot of bias out. Like this time of year, we have – we've got a lot of experience. We've got a lot of history to, like, make our calculated, you know, guesses, you know, hypothesize who's going to be best. But then it really formulates into a much more solidified ranking that even surprises ourselves sometimes when we go through that process. That's – so I would say, how do we go about trying to decide who will be relevant? Stat out every single player in the NFL.
You begin the offseason with a laundry list, page after page of questions, and you get answers throughout the free agent period. You get answers in terms of what kind of money is invested, players that are extended, like their contracts. We've been joking about my dynasty team that is old, right? But you get answers, like Tyler Lockett getting reworked to extend him. Raheem Mostert recently, reworked deal to give him an extra year. Mike Evans coming back. Like, there are answers to be found in the ways teams spend money. They also kind of illustrate what their plans are for the draft if they bring certain players back. So it's a process. Like Jason said, you don't decide on April 1st or April 2nd who's relevant. You get the clues and you wait for the draft, and then you continue to stat out those players like Jason said. So anything to add, Mike?
Nope. That covered it.
Nor is he interested to add anything.
No, there's
no, you, I can, nope, nope.
I can nope. Talk to talk, but I have nothing to add there.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Can we move on though?
Nope.
Oh, I no.
News and notes from around the league.
Well, I just mentioned it, but the Dolphins signed Raheem Mostert to what amounts to a one-year contract extension. But that puts him under contract through 2025. Apparently, he's ageless. So
he will be 32.
It would have been his last year on the current deal. And so they gave him an extra year.
And he will be very fantasy relevant for fantasy football, and he'll be a good value because he is so old and he's not the new hotness. Devon Achane will take more work away. And so people don't want to be holding the bag on the old running backs, but he will be absolutely fine this year.
To be clear, he was the old hotness last year.
Yes. Yes, he was. And but my point is, like, he'll be a value in drafts this year for sure. He should be drafted higher than wherever he is being drafted.
Mike, I want to get your reaction. Jeremy Fowler reporting the Cowboys and Zeke mutual interest in a return. Are you interested? Do you join them in this interest?
No. No, I do not. I mean, I guess for fantasy football, you have to. You know, Rico Dowdle will be back. And if the room is Dowdle and Ezekiel Elliott, then we're going to have some mucky muck to wade through because Zeke, he had a couple games there at the end of last year where he was relevant, as basically because he was everything for the New England Patriots. But, like, the advanced stats, at least that I've seen on Zeke, you know, from last year, they match up with what you saw was it. This is an older running back.
He was doing his best.
Yeah, this is an older running back who is not anywhere close to the sensation that when he was drafted. But if he's on the Cowboys, again, with Dowdle, tremendous offense, going to score a bunch of touchdowns, so you should have interest there. But it feels like he would shape up to be like a dead zone running back, and your probability is not great.
There was a little bit of mutual interest even last year before Zeke found a landing spot. It came out like, oh, they're not opposed to bringing him back, and they didn't. I would expect, and of course this is when the breaking news is going to happen, that they just immediately sign him, but I would expect them to wait until after the draft, see how that goes, because right now the expectation is they're going to get their starting running back in the draft.
He may want to wait as well, guaranteed playing time and things like that. We are recording this episode of the podcast in the afternoon of April 1st, but the latest information we have here is Rashi Rice. That situation, I'm mentioning when we're recording in case more information comes out.
Right.
But the Dallas Morning News reporting that Rashi Rice is wanted in connection with a major car accident. There's all this video out there now. Showing this multi-car freeway pile up, and Rashi Rice is wanted in connection with that accident. We don't know anything else. We don't know if he was driving. All we know is that one of the vehicles involved that I believe fled the scene was leased or licensed to Rashi Rice.
Yep.
Not good. Not a story you want to hear.
No. There's not a ton we can report on here, but it's a bad look. It's a really, really bad look right now.
And it could end up being a very significant situation.
Yeah, it could.
So you need to be aware of that. But we don't know much more than what's being reported as of right now. Any other big news to report?
No,
over
sir.
Over there? No? Okay. Let's do it.
Hey, rookie. Welcome to the NFL.
All right, it is time to preview the 2024 rookie class. Today we're going to focus on the quarterbacks and the running backs. We will cover the wide receivers and tight ends on the Thursday episode. We will also have some draft predictions on that show. And this is kind of an overview. This is a look into
the higher level.
Yeah, the things that we liked about these players in the scouting process, things we didn't like, fantasy implications and thoughts. Maybe we'll meander down the draft order a little bit with some of these guys and where we think they could land. But starting at the quarterback position, you have teams with major needs. Obviously, Chicago with the first pick in the draft. They just got rid of their quarterback. We know what they're doing. But Washington at 2, New England at 3, Minnesota, I believe they pick at 11, right?
Denver.
Denver's at 12. And then Las Vegas is in the mix to move up or pursue a quarterback because they have Gardner right now and Aiden O'Connell. So those are the premium destinations in terms of need. Doesn't mean it's the best place for these players to arrive. But, yeah, this is going to be more of an overview. And if you really, like, you're so thirsty and you want to dig in deep and you want to go in depth on every one of these players to a much greater degree, all of these prospects have been previewed on the Dynasty podcast. And so you can check that out. And then obviously the Dynasty Pass itself, which is part of the Ultimate Draft Kit, has production profiles, rookie mock drafts, risers and fallers, and more detailed information on the site as well. But we'll start with the man of the hour, Caleb Williams, undoubtedly the number one pick in the upcoming draft. He was a junior at USC when he declared, had a much better sophomore season statistically than his junior year. Frequently made the Sports Center type of plays. Didn't throw a lot of interceptions.
Nope.
Very evasive in terms of extending plays. Great arm. What were your impressions on Caleb Williams? And let's translate that into how you think he might make an impact in year one and moving forward.
I'll jump in. I mean, he looks like a pro-ready quarterback is kind of just the easiest analysis to give him. He's going to be the first overall pick. And I had, if you've been listening to the Dynasty pod and I'm talking about these quarterbacks, you know, I've been kind of hesitant to be really ready for Caleb Williams for fantasy purposes because I'm still going to...
For year one or in general?
Yes, for year one. Because I'm still going to bet against rookie quarterbacks. I know C.J. Stroud was incredible, but we'll see. I would need more of those true guys to have a breakout for me to be more in. But the Keenan Allen trade really changed how I'm thinking about Caleb Williams to be on a roster that already, you have two number one wide receivers already, and there is a chance that with their other top 10 pick, the Chicago Bears are in the market for another wide receiver. That's been floated a decent amount. We'll see if that actually happens. But either situation, now that you have DJ Moore and Keenan, like and the Chicago Bears, if you remember over last year, they were getting better over the second half of the season. So I'm very interested in Caleb Williams because he has the guys, you know, the rushing production. It's not that he can't move, but that's not like his calling card by any means. This isn't Jaden Daniels, the next guy we'll highlight. So you're not really looking at that. Where last week we had a show I brought up about the top 12 best fantasy seasons. The majority of them guys are doing things with their legs. But if Caleb Williams really has these weapons at his possession, I think he will be a very interesting quarterback, not only for dynasty, but for redraft, to just take a shot late and see if he has that Stroud magic.
Yeah, he's good. There's a reason he's going to be the number one pick. And if you go back over the last decade, and we, you know, there's always, oh, this is the best player since Andrew Luck. This is the best player since Trevor Lawrence. This is, you know, there's always that dominant one every few years. And I know we weren't quite as, I mean, Trevor Lawrence had all the traits.
Right.
But he wasn't one of those guys we fawned over. To me, Caleb Williams is worthy of that hype. Like, when I watch, I'm like, this guy can do some special things that not many other people can do. The numbers were down a little bit this last year, but he also played two fewer games. So, on a per-game basis, still down a little bit, but he had a good season. And when I watch the film, I'm like, yeah, I totally get it. This is a good quarterback draft class, and he is in a tier of his own.
Kyler finished his rookie year at 7, Herbert at 9, Stroud at 11. Those are kind of the highlight rookies of the last 4 years. If you had to put Caleb Williams into a box right now, is it 15?
Yeah, that's
12 to 15.
I would say more like 15 to 18. If you're talking just 2024 fantasy finish, Mike's right. He's not a, you're like, we're going to talk about Jaden Daniels, whose legs are a calling card. Caleb Williams can scramble. There's a lot of, you know, people are saying, oh, his comp is like Patrick Mahomes. And I get why. There is only one Patrick Mahomes, who I think is probably going to end as the greatest quarterback of all time by the end of his career. But you see some of those, like, you know, the creativity, the scrambling, the buying time, and then having a rocket arm to do stuff. But he's got the same mobility to me that Mahomes has.
Which is, in all of his full seasons, he averages 321 rushing yards a game.
Wow, 320 rushing yards a game.
On average?
On average, 320 yards, which boosts his numbers. No,
just a little
321
bit.
A year.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of around what I will project for Caleb Williams. He's, you know, he had 382 in his sophomore year, and they do count sacks against you in college. So I think Caleb Williams will not be a pure pocket passer that's, you know, scrambling for 50 yards a year.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with a discussion on Jaden Daniels.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All right, as we maintain our run through the quarterback previews here, Jaden Daniels from LSU via ASU was a senior. Took him a while to get going and have that opportunity. The transfer made a big difference. He was outstanding. 40 touchdowns.
He's a super
4 interceptions.
Super duper senior. He's a 5-year player.
Yeah, he had been there for a long time. He's 23 years old, and you know, dual threat. To me, still, the weight concerns me tremendously for the types of things he wants to try to do with his legs. I do worry about injury with him. He also evolved his, you know, I watched him a lot at ASU, but that last year at LSU was a very different story.
Yeah, you were, before really watching the tape on the on him,
I thought I
LSU
knew,
senior,
I thought I knew enough about him.
Yeah, you were like out on Jaden Daniels because you watched a couple years at ASU and you're like, this dude's not it.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, just not a player you see transferring into the NFL game and having consistent success. He definitely profiled to me as a backup NFL quarterback, but he had an incredible year, and it was well-deserving of the Heisman and everything he did at LSU. Everything he did that final year was super impressive.
Fantasy football-wise, this is a star prospect because you're talking about 3,800 passing yards with 40 passing touchdowns. If that's all you do, that's incredible. You're a high draft pick. He added 1,100 rushing yards and 10 rushing touchdowns. He is outstanding on the ground. He's a lot faster than, I guess, players around him think, because he's always he's always beating the first and the second guys, getting out into open space, and then getting clobbered.
But
getting clobbered out in the open.
He is not as strong as he thinks that he
is. No, dude, this guy's going to be the first decapitated NFL player because he gets to the outside, beats a man, cuts, and just you think he's gone to the house, and then it's always he doesn't see the safety or someone that just comes and blow him up. I've never seen someone take such blind downfield hits as Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
That is a concern.
It is definitely a concern that he will have to work on. The other concern is he is already over the age of 23. You would prefer that your franchise quarterbacks had some dominance at a younger age. Again, a five-year player. And the jump, it's his 2022 season statistically for LSU, it's not an awful season, but 2,900 yards, 17 passing touchdowns, almost 900 yards on the ground.
It's just wild because Burrow did the same thing at LSU, made the jump in 1 year.
To go from that to the numbers for the next year it's how do you want to look at life? This is how much water is in the glass? Because it is this just completely fluky that he had a magical season? He's got, you know, he's got some weapons. He's got a wide receiver that is almost certainly a top, six pick or so.
Malik Nabers, yeah, Brian Thomas Nabers, Jr.
And then the other wide receiver he had, it's very Joe Burrow-esque because Brian Thomas, by all the smoke of the NFL draft community, he will be a first-round wide receiver. So those are the red alarms if you want to be concerned about Jaden.
Here's what's crazy to me is that he profiles to me and statistically what he did in college, being a senior, his size, his stats, and maybe the team he's drafted by. But Robert Griffin III is a very similar situation with what he did. RG3 jumped in his senior year to a huge touchdown total. He only ran for like 700 yards. I mean, this was a bigger year for Jaden Daniels, and he went number two to Washington.
Yeah, and RG3, I still think, would have had a great career. He was on his way to being a superstar NFL quarterback before being injured out of the league.
Over and over again.
Yeah. And this, honestly, it seems like that could be a comp here.
So that's
that,
the
that
worry.
Is a,
that's
that
the
is a fear for Jaden Daniels. But I do think that when he's on the field, I would bet on him over everyone else in this draft class to score the most fantasy points while he's on the field.
There you go.
But also, very, we've seen it with Justin Fields. He scores a lot of fantasy points when he's on the field, but then the NFL's like, yeah, but you don't win enough games.
Get off the field.
Yeah. Get off the field. I don't know that I look at Jaden Daniels as a guaranteed prospect, but when he's on the field, he'll score a lot of fantasy points.
Drake May. What were your impressions watching Drake May film 3 years at North Carolina? Really two. I mean, really a sophomore.
Yep.
Were you impressed?
He is, I think, a fascinating prospect because, I mean, he's still young, essentially 2 years as a starter in college, and he does something. He has incredible moments where he had, like, physically he is very gifted. Like he has a rocket ship for an arm. He can move around. Like, Drake May won't give you Jaden Daniels numbers on the ground, but Drake May is willing to run almost 700 rushing yards in that first year as a true starter, about 450 this past year in two fewer games. So he'll give you, you know, just a little bit of a cushion with some rushing points. But then he follows up.
Like Daniel Great. Jones?
He follows up. Yeah, Daniel Jones.
Is that
sure.
Fair?
For the amount of rushing you would expect, where he'll give you nothing, and then the next game all of a sudden you'll have, I got 60 rushing yards from Drake May. That's interesting. But he'll follow up greatness with real head-scratching decisions. So he is still a prospect who needs to have a stable coaching staff around who can get the best out of him. Because if he goes – like if he's just surrounded by a bad situation, I think that his odds are failing. But his ceiling is that if it all works out, he could be incredible.
Jason, he was a lot like Caleb Williams in the respect that last year, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, the numbers came down a little on two fewer games. So the per game came down a little. What about you?
So I think Drake May is a great prospect. If I was a GM, I'd be all about him. He is the prototypical, you know, you're not afraid of size here.
Yep.
6'4", 223. He's a big, athletic quarterback. You can use him on all the scrambles. You could try to tush push with him. You know, this is a guy who had 9 rushing touchdowns last year.
Is that more Josh Allen than Daniel Jones then?
I think it is closer there, but that it's kind of between those two guys. He's like, if you took those two guys and put them together, that's kind of my expectation for where Drake May comes out, which is very good for fantasy. He's going to have enough rushing yardage and enough rushing touchdowns down near the goal line that he will be very fantasy relevant. The question is whether he can be consistent with his throw. You know, you see some, like Mike said, some head-scratching plays, but he's also very young. He's 21 years old right now, and that's really good. The old quarterbacks, Kyle isn't with us today. If he was here, he would want us to rant on how unsuccessful old quarterbacks being drafted are, and there are 3 of them here we're talking about that are pretty old, being in 23.
I'm wondering if him not being with us sounded like maybe he had passed on.
He's just not here today.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. I think, you know, one interesting fact, May led all quarterbacks in throws between the hashes in terms of PFF grade. Like you said, big arm competitor. J.J. McCarthy, the last of the Fab Four, I would say, being talked about at the very top of the draft. National champion at Michigan in his junior season. The numbers weren't, you know, prolific or out of this world, but he executed an NFL-style offense and led them to a championship. Very young breakout age, still very young, 21 years old.
He's a winner.
Yeah, he's also just a very accurate passer.
Yeah.
I think, Mike, you mentioned Brock Purdy's name earlier.
Well, we were
technically sound.
Because J.J. McCarthy has really been rising, at least in the terms of the court of public opinion. J.J. McCarthy has gone from essentially like early on in the process, this is a solid second round pick. And then don't be surprised if J.J. McCarthy sneaks into the first round. And now there's a lot of smoke. J.J. McCarthy, a number 2 overall. And it's like, whoa. Okay, we've gone from the second round to the number 2 overall pick. But watching J.J. McCarthy, I think he's good. The numbers Andy was talking about, they aren't prolific. You have just under 3,000 passing yards, 22 passing touchdowns. But
we know how they ran the football there.
But that exactly. Compared to Drake May, he threw the ball 100 fewer times in 3 more games.
Yeah, that's wild.
So he didn't – the offense was so different. It ran on the ground. It was very high T up there for Harbaugh. I think McCarthy's good. Like I think if you have – I don't know that he is a franchise-changing player where you can put him in and then everything builds around him. But if you're missing a QB, like if J.J. McCarthy went to Minnesota, I think that would be an incredible move.
Minnesota at 11, Denver at 12, Bears, Commanders, Patriots all in the mix. Giants could be in the mix. When you think of those first 4 names and destinations, like how impactful is that going to be for you? Because these are all teams that lost a lot of football games. You know, how much better do you think Washington is than New England? Or how much better do you think the Giants situation might be than, I don't know, Denver or something, or vice versa?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Denver and New England, those are scarier landing spots, I think, from like a weapons perspective.
Even with Peyton, though?
Peyton is nice to just have like confidence that you've got a good coach. But as far as like 2024 rookie year value, it's going to be really hard for me to see fantasy relevance with those receivers if someone like J.J. McCarthy goes there. Because J.J. McCarthy, he's athletic. He's very good at throwing on the run, but he's not using his athleticism to get downfield, get a bunch of rushing yardage and a ton of rushing touchdowns in the NFL. I don't see that as his path towards fantasy points. So it really will be being a prolific pocket passer, getting great wide receivers involved. And yeah, so if he goes to Minnesota and has Justin Jefferson and Addison and eventually Hawk. That's a perfect landing spot for him. And, Jay, you know, you look at Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh, it's just shocking. He says great things about this quarterback. Jim Harbaugh sitting at pick number 5 says, this is the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Trade Herbert, you coward.
Right. Yeah. The fact that he
believes it. I think he does. I think but he's got his quarterback
it,
already.
It behooves him so much to say that. It's like insider trading.
Picking at number 5.
Yeah, picking at number 5, being like, hey guys, you gotta take him at 4.
I mean, we can't, but
we'll trade back. If he's there at 5, you gotta come get this guy.
That's fair.
I want to move on to running backs. I think we've handled the four most likely to be relevant as a rookie situations. Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, other rumored late first, second, third type of guys. Both of them are older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's comical, right? 23 years old. You're old.
24.
Bo Nix is 24.
Penix will be 24 in a minute.
No, it'll be at a normal amount of time, but between birthdays. But he has played 47 years in college.
Yes, yes. This year is where you get the weird redshirt year, the COVID year, and you get a few older guys. Penix tested really well at his pro day.
He doesn't run. He throws a rocket ball.
It's so weird that he doesn't run. He ran a blazing 40 time.
When you could throw like a missile.
Yeah, but because you're left-handed, and you look dumb when you throw it, so run.
Jason has admitted that he has a weird bias against lefties.
They never look like good quarterbacks.
I don't know. You write left-handed.
I throw right-handed because I have self-respect. Okay, I am left-handed, and I would never ever throw the ball lefty.
Did you start throwing lefty, and then you're?
I was like, this is stupid. What am I doing? Give me that ball back.
He saw a video of him throwing. Yeah. He was ashamed of himself, and he.
So you hated. What, Steve Young?
Oh, the worst.
Boomer Esiason.
Michael Vick stunk. I mean, at least he ran. You know, it's right. Like, oh, good.
If you throw a left, you just run instead of throw.
Yeah.
But no, I want to mention Michael Penix Jr. for a moment. Just, you know, huge numbers for two consecutive years. 30-plus touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 11 interceptions this past year. Has had impressive stretches. Has a very NFL-capable arm. If you ended up in the, you know, really good situation, it could work out. But I want to talk about running backs now. How about that?
All right.
Me too.
Let's talk about now. What order? Do you guys know what order they put them in?
I believe
is this the betting order?
No, this is
our rankings.
It's the correct order.
Okay. The correct order as in we.
Well,
when you combine.
The first one is the correct one.
When you combine all of our rankings, then.
Yes. Our Ballers Consensus Dynasty Rookie Rankings. This is the order in which we have them ranked. Well, not necessarily. We don't agree with each other,
right?
At the table, but our consensus combined.
So when you look at that, the first name that we discuss is Trey Benson, Florida State junior. The first two guys we're discussing have dealt with catastrophic injury.
Yes, Trey Benson is the first player. He had a really, really bad knee injury that they thought might have been career canceling in 2020. His ACL, MCL, lateral meniscus, medial meniscus, and a tendon in his hamstring all at once.
Goodness gracious.
The fact that he came back from that and looked so great and had such speed and explosiveness, this is my favorite running back of this year's draft class. This is not a great draft class in general. There isn't a Bijan. There isn't a Breece. But Trey Benson, when I watch the film, I'm like, this guy's good. He does all the things that I want to see a player do. He caught the ball well. He could get to the outside. And whenever he was in a one-on-one situation, he would always win that one-on-one. Not the best vision, but I think he's the most talented running back of the group. Well, it's debatable between him and the next guy, but the next guy's dealing with a more common or recent injury.
Yeah, more recent. Benson, to me, I'm the lowest of the three of us on Trey Benson. I think a lot of what you see on film is outstanding. He's a violent runner. He's you know, got good size. I just think it's going to come down to what kind of draft capital the running back crew as a whole receive, and do they land in one of those perfect destinations? Dallas is the one that sticks out as the most obvious, and so I'm going to I think we're going to see the running back evaluation swing the most because of how, you know, there isn't a consensus. I have seen five running backs projected as the first off the board at least. And so there's a wide variety of opinion from Benson to Brooks to we've seen Braylon Allen there. We've seen Jalen Wright there. We've seen Blake Corum there. And so I am going to be paying close attention. Like, it feels like a cop-out in the evaluation process, but I don't feel like one of these guys stood out to the degree that I'm going to ignore the destination or not make that the preeminent aspect of my you know, scouting process.
Yeah, the combination of destination and draft capital will reorganize our running. The running back rankings are going to be, sadly, very easy this year. You know, it's like if high draft capital is spent by the Cowboys or the Chargers, and all of a sudden you end up with one of, I don't even care who it is, one of these top four or five names being the first or second running back off the board to one of those two teams, well, I'm taking them.
Let me add this too. Like, every single year you have rookie running backs make an impact for fantasy. So I want to say that out of the gate. Don't, to me, and correct me if you have a totally different opinion, but I'm going to be looking at that destination aspect a lot more than the draft capital aspect if it's a middle of the second versus a middle of the third. But that middle of the third is in a much better destination because of how they compare to one another in the film. I'm taking that middle of the third guy with the better destination.
Draft capital, to me, when I look at running backs, and we've done so much research and all the nerd spreadsheets to verify this.
Nerd sheets.
It's nerd sheets. It's really a day two versus a day three pick. The second and third round, it doesn't make that big a difference. The difference between a third round pick and a fourth round pick is monumental. I mean, it's like the fourth round hits from then on out. The draft capital, the team is not as invested. They're willing to move on. Even if you had a great rookie year, a la Damian Pierce, when you spend that second day of the NFL draft, those are high-valued picks within the minds of the general managers and the NFL franchises. That day really, really, really matters to them, and they're not going to waste this. If they're investing one of those picks, they're saying this is a cornerstone of our offense. So yeah, I would agree with you. Third round is super valuable. It's that day two.
I'll just jump in real quick because I love Trey Benson. I thought he was absolutely sensational on film. Just, I gave him glowing positive grades for basically everything that I'm looking for in a running back. He, like, even when he's getting tackled, it's still pulling the tackler forward, you know, getting an extra yard, an extra 2 yards, which will matter in terms of getting playing time. And I mean, he looked so incredibly fast. And then at the combine, he ran a 4.39.
Oh, which, yes, baby.
Yeah, which at 6'2", 216 puts him in the his speed score is a 94th percentile. So he is very capable. His weight is right in that perfect range where you can take the three down work if you are so fortunate to get a coach who believes in that, but he's not so heavy where you're like, well, you have to be Derrick Henry because you're just so heavy. He's right in that sweet spot, and I think he can do everything. And to me, just film grade wise, he was by far the best of all these prospects.
Two of the teams that you're looking at with the, and we have opportunity charts in the Dynasty Pass, Dallas and Las Vegas, who tried desperately to keep Josh Jacobs. They couldn't. They did sign Madison. They have Zamir White. Dallas is at 56 and 87. That's their two picks in the second and third round. Las Vegas is at 44 and 77. So
I think
they're going to get the first crack unless Dallas moves up.
I would love to know there, because that's another destination to me where you know they want to run the ball.
Yeah.
And if they do trade back from five, which they...
They're at 37 in the second round, so fifth pick of the second and fifth pick of the third. So they have their normal picks. They also have the fifth pick in the fourth, and they have the five picks after that in the fourth. So they have 2 fourths. So they have plenty of capital.
I think Trey Benson goes in the second.
That'll
be my
projection. As of right now, I looked up the, you know, who's most likely to be the first running back taken. Right now the odds are towards Jonathan Brooks, just barely ahead of Trey Benson.
All right, another break, and we'll come back and talk about Jonathan Brooks from Texas.
live from Texas. Let's talk about Jonathan Brooks.
Because I said from Texas.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Jonathan Brooks from
Texas. We don't do really any, not too many like on-site type of situations. Can we send you as a correspondent?
Yes, please. I would love to do
shows in Texas.
Shows in Texas from a camera crew, just holding the microphone. Go out there and touch some
all
grass.
All your exes, actually.
They live in Texas.
Jonathan Brooks. Boston. Yeah, please. Yeah, I knew it was bad. I'm 40. Jonathan Brooks. Jason mentioned it. Recent injury, expected to be ready for the regular season, but dealing with an ACL. I think some view that as a risky situation. I don't, really. It's a patient situation. You might have to be more patient, but patience and risk are not the same thing to me. He's only 20 years old. To me, he...
Well, he's 20 to everyone.
Wow, Jay, you are... Cook, let him cook.
Yeah, baby.
Man, earlier he had said when he said we were talking about Benson and he went Florida junior. I almost jumped in with a Florida senior joke, but I'm surprised you didn't catch that one.
Yeah, I should have.
Well, he's picking his spots. Jonathan Brooks is 20 to everybody.
Correct.
He redshirted in 2021. He was behind Bijan in Texas.
Yeah, couldn't get on the field last year. What's that about?
Yeah, Bijan's all right. And I thought he was – I think he's a very smooth runner. I think he's a runner that, to me, has a higher ceiling, I think, if he's given the opportunity. He can catch the football, but you just have to be more patient. And so I do think fantasy players will be staring down a more difficult decision in rookie drafts if you have, like, Jonathan Brooks going ahead of Benson. But then Benson's – they're both in a good situation, and you don't know maybe whether Jonathan Brooks will be given a big workload early in his career.
Yeah, I when I first watched Jonathan Brooks, I had him ranked much lower within my rookie rankings because my presumption was an NFL team cannot really invest high draft capital into a player that's not going to be ready at the running back position. And so I thought he would plummet down – the actual draft board, and if he ends up a fourth rounder, you know, the career opportunities can change. But given the buzz, and you know, right now I just said the sports book line is he has the highest odds of being number
they're
one.
They're even.
Oh, they're
even right now. Yeah.
DK's got them both at +200.
But that's still, I mean, so he's tied for first. And if he's the first or second running back off the board, I'm going to be fully in on him because every single play was positive for him. It wasn't like he had the unbelievable stuff that Bijan and Breece had where it was like, wow, any play could be the end of the drive. I don't see that quite the same in him, but everything is positive.
Let me give you a
glides.
Pretend. Yeah, he does. And let me give you a pretend situation. At 77 in the third round, first running back off the board, Trey Benson goes to the Las Vegas Raiders. At 87 off the board, the second running back, Jonathan Brooks, goes off the board to the Dallas Cowboys. How would you evaluate that for rookie drafts?
I would still have Trey Benson ahead. I think Trey Benson is a better running back than Jonathan Brooks. I like both of them, but the opportunities are both good. They're almost for sure will not be a running back in the first round, but if there's no running back draft in the second round, whew.
I've seen piles of mock drafts with no running backs in the first and second round.
Yeah, I will just be surprised if it happens on
the
actual
here's
the
day. Problem is the teams that need the running backs the most, Dallas, Los Angeles, and
Vegas?
Vegas. Like, are you going, like, Los Angeles is very high in the second round.
Yeah.
They're not picking a running back until the third round.
There's a good chance, though, on draft day, they trade back from five, and they end up with a
different
smattering
of other
picks,
I mean, those things, I mean, we can't predict that. But I'm just saying, like, if the greatest opportunities are top-heavy in the second round,
sure,
and nobody's off the board, like, why not kick that back to the third round? I'll be very curious to see what happens. Braylon Allen, Blake Corum. Talk about these two guys. Corum is, let's call him the J.J. McCarthy of the running back position. He really is.
You're because, just saying because he's so boring?
I know you call him Blake Borum. I've heard about this.
Yeah, and Blake Corum, more like Blake Borum.
You're more allured by a rhyme, maybe. But here's what I mean: is the numbers weren't prolific for J.J. McCarthy in Michigan, national title, He's a very accurate, efficient passer. Blake Corum's like measurables are not everything that fits into the normal prototypical.
They're fine.
The range, but the consensus opinion on Blake Corum is greater than the analytical opinion on Blake Corum, and the consensus opinion on J.J. McCarthy among general managers is much different than the analytical opinion of J.J. McCarthy. To me, both of these guys prove that they were the most technical at their position. I think Blake Corum is the most refined at his position of all the running backs. I think he does the most stuff well, but he doesn't have the highest ceiling. He doesn't have the highest top speed. He doesn't have one thing that he does better than everybody else, but I think he does everything pretty darn well.
Yeah, he's your number one running back. He could very easily be the number one running back taken in the NFL draft. He obviously won a national championship. And if you look at the production profile, he's very, very good. You know, you might want to see him catch the ball a little bit more. But one of the most sticky college stats at the running back position to predict future success, because, you know, we nerd out on anything we can, is surprisingly rushing touchdowns. That's always been something that's actually been a very sticky stat for success.
He only had 27.
You don't do much better than Blake Corum. 27 rushing touchdowns this last year, 18 the year before.
That's 45 touchdowns.
I mean, I watched the film and I saw absolutely nothing special. Never anything wrong. I didn't watch and go, this guy sucks. Oh, this guy's bad. I just was waiting for something special. And then he scores a touchdown. It's like, okay, well, but he didn't do anything special to cause that. Let's see the next drive. And then it's like, this is okay. He's okay. He's okay. He got another touchdown. He gets it done. So I'm really confused with him. He obviously is very, very productive. I don't love him personally. There's a lot of flags. He's older. He's 5'8".
He's small.
205. Since 1999, only seven running backs 5'8 or shorter drafted in the first three rounds. That's MJD.
That's a smash.
Hall of Famer, but he was what, like 4'3" something speed?
He was 4'3" tall. That yes. Is correct.
He had electric speed. You got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, failure. Devin Singletary, mid. Yeah. Darrell Henderson, LaMichael James, Garrett Wolfe, and Kevin Faulk.
You talk about giant starter Devin Singletary? Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's okay. Yeah. Devin.
I guess that makes his team kind of like an ironic landing spot.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
Andy's just throwing him out right now.
I'm at a different level.
he's still trying to recover from his ex's.
I don't think Jason understands it still.
I still know that.
He's
on the Giants, and he's very short.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Okay. All right. I'm there.
Some would say he's not.
Mike, I don't have that button on my board.
No. That's a good joke. It's a smart person joke. That's why you didn't like it. Braylon Allen. 3 years younger, Jason. Talk about Braylon Allen.
He's a baby boy.
Compared to Blake Corum. And Mike, you as well.
I'll jump in because I like Braylon Allen. It is a little bit nerve-wracking to have. You know, he's 6'1", 235. So this is a tank of a man. This is the guy where you see photographs of him from high school, and he's the strongest man you've ever seen. And that was years and years and years ago. And his production profile is pretty awesome. In 2021, as a freshman, over almost 1,300 rushing yards at 6.8 a carry, 12 rushing touchdowns, and some receiving work. But over the course of his career, you saw the receiving production go up. So we like that. He's not, I wouldn't call him the world's most natural pass catcher, but good enough. That he can be utilized in that.
I want to see the world's most unnatural pass catcher.
That'd
be wild.
We've seen
Jordan Howard.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of those guys.
I guess, like, I was thinking they'd be doing like tricks and stuff. But go on.
Oh, or like the seal clap
at
the
ball.
Yeah,
just weird catches.
But he just
totally unnatural.
His age, like currently, he's barely 20 years old. His breakout age, before he was allowed to vote. So that is wild. Like, the Dominator rating, everything is there for him. So I think he hit the ceiling, if everything works, will be like a true difference making running back for fantasy football. But while I acknowledge that the ceiling is there, I acknowledge that this could be AJ Dillon all over again.
Yeah, I think that's a decent mid level comp for him is AJ Dillon, because he's got really good hands, but he just doesn't turn and after he catches the ball and
right.
and go fast. It's like he has to stop and start again. His production was great as a baby boy. I mean, he went into the league, like you said, couldn't even vote yet, and he put up 1,268 yards. Unless there's an injury or a specific reason to watch older tape, I always watch the most recent season. That's the one that they're coming off of after teams have figured out who's a star, who's not. And he wasn't as good this last year, 984 yards in 11 games. He is one of the only guys like this, though. So I think he's 6'1", 235. If an NFL team is saying, I want a real big, massive man, they might invest higher in Braylon Allen than maybe the sports book think. So where he lands will be really important to me. But he's going to be the youngest. He graduated high school a year early. I believe he's like the only example we will have of
someone got my joke.
Playing the entire rookie season before turning 21. That's insanely young.
It's going to be really interesting. And just to be clear, like you guys both have Benson number one, Jason has Brooks number two, and Allen number three. Mike has Allen number two and Brooks number three. I currently have Corum at one, and then I have Brooks at two, Benson at three, and Allen at four. I don't think there are five spots to make a rookie impact this year in terms of NFL teams. They've invested heavily on free agent running backs this year. I think there are situations that are sneaky. Cincinnati, a rookie could arrive in Cincinnati, yeah. And you've got Zach Moss, right? And so
yes.
Those ones could evolve. But there are some like bad destinations, and then there are just like not a lot of teams with a full workload. So if you end up with, let's say, one in the second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One in the second, two in the third, the rest are going on day three or later. That's where it gets a little bit hairy to me in terms of having any confidence. Because, look, we can sit here and say, hey, we're going to pay attention to the destination, but if you got a fifth-round Braylon Allen, that's going to be a tough.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean? Or a fourth,
yeah.
Or even a fourth-round Braylon Allen going to a team that's already got an established running game.
Yeah, he'll be
– those will be
– he'll be just irrelevant to me until we hit the back of the second, third round, and he probably won't be there. Those are the type of rookie draft picks, running backs that are drafted on day three that are overdrafted in your rookie drafts because, oh, I need a running back. I just have to have one, and I like this guy before the NFL draft, so they're going to draft him too high. Don't do that. That's a waste of pick.
We have to talk about Jalen Wright out of Tennessee because he's also been projected in some mock drafts as the first running back off the board. I have him at five, Jason at five, Mike at six right now. This is a player that I, when finally putting on the film, like he was ignored for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of buzz began. And he was number one in yards per carry of the entire running back class. And if you watch him, this is a player with electric speed. He's a game breaker type of player. And, you know, he's sub 4.4. He was constantly, when he gets behind the defense, is like, goodbye. And so there's something attractive about that, I think, for some of these teams with holes at the running back position to bring somebody in that can catch the football, that can break a big play, but just doesn't have the production profile of the other guys that we've already talked about.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's almost a, you know, there's cheat codes for rushing quarterbacks. I feel like one of the cheat codes for projecting rookie running backs is when there is a guy that is 210 pounds or more and runs sub 4.4, pretty much always works. I mean, they find a landing spot and they have some success for some period of time. I mean, Deonta Foreman, I think, you know, Achilles out of that. But, like, even, you know, Pacheco was close to that. When you're really, really fast but also really, really heavy, it's hard to stop those guys. And NFL offensive minds, they just get those guys a crease, get them in space, and they succeed. So I'm really interested where he's going to go because as soon as he ran that speed at that size, I was like, yeah, 4.38, 210 pounds, that just works.
Yeah, and he was number two overall in terms of the combine rank at running back in athleticism. So he kind of jumped off the page and I think changed a lot of teams' minds. Mike, what did you think of Jalen Wright? Could he be a surprise this season?
I mean, I feel like I don't have a full read on Jalen Wright because not that the actual like professional scouts, but you know, just in the on Twitter, essentially, you know, draft Twitter, when we're all starting to get really excited about these guys as the NFL season has ended, now we're moving towards the draft. He was a late comer to the party where you're like, how did it go from no one is really, but not no one. Of course, I get it. They're good. I have receipts. I talked about Jalen Wright. Fantastic. But like the overall crowd wasn't really talking about Jalen Wright. But now people are really buzzing about him. That can be a red flag. It's not a reason to write somebody off, but it's something that's interesting of he wasn't at the top of mind of people and now he is climbing in there. You definitely climb in there when you have a combine like this. It reminds me of David Johnson when it was like, who is this guy from the small school that just destroyed every athletic measurable at the combine? And while it was short, there was that season for David Johnson where he was like he won people championships. I like the fact that at least the receiving profile has gone up, where in that final year of college, you know, he accounted for 9% of the receptions, which is that's a little bit under the mark that you want from a true running back one. But at least it started to get up there because if you're that size and you can catch, I will be interested.
I'll say this. I think Jalen Wright will go in the third round of the NFL draft. That's a little draft prediction. I think he's going to go there. I think somebody's going to fall in love with what the combine showed and that breakaway speed. We'll see. I want one more name from the remaining crop of running backs that you're paying attention to. Will Shipley. I like Will Shipley.
I do too.
And at least Clemson. I think he's a player that could land on a team and contribute from day one. Not as the guy, but as a compliment, as a pass catcher. And, you know, I have him at 6 right now. You guys both have him at 7. Is there another name you really like?
Yeah, there's a guy I like. And to speak on Will Shipley, I mean, I think he's very well-rounded. He came into college there's different high school scouting reports, but some had him as the number one running back recruit in the nation. So he's not out of nowhere. Pay attention to him. But for me, Ray Davis, he's older, which I don't like. I really, you know, I don't like older running backs.
24.4.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very
wow,
old.
Man.
That's but, Papa Josh level.
But he is extremely well-rounded. He can catch the ball well. He's got breakaway speed. I liked the tape a lot. And from a fantasy perspective, I really liked that he seems like he can do everything. And I value that in a running back.
Mike, did you have anybody else you wanted to bring up?
Estime out of Notre Dame. And I just wanted.
You have him the highest.
Yeah, I think he's in. I like what I saw, and the buzz, you know, with mock drafts is showing he could be one of those guys that ends up as a third rounder. He's fun because Jason and I have a pretty strong difference of opinion on him. He is a thicker boy, you know.
He's thick.
Yeah, he's thick.
I think Jason and I have the same opinion. So you're on an Estime Island.
That's fine, but he's
big island.
It's a big island, and he's a big player, a big running back who can catch. And I have a
soft spot.
A real soft spot when you can give me that kind of combination. He was he's still running his 40.
Yeah, the official combine was 4.71.
Oh, why even do it?
So, I know, but he improved it at the pro day, right?
I don't recall off the top of
my head. 4.70
But
at the pro day?
So slow straight line, but like his other,
I think it was 4.58 or something.
4.58, yeah.
Oh, okay. So add on the 0.05 and you're still
slow.
You're still slower. So slow. But like his explosiveness and the vert, like the short area speed, he tested very well at that. And I had the notes.
Aww, is he your next AJ Dillon?
Maybe. I don't know. I thought his footwork was pretty good for a good guy or for a big guy. And the problem I have is the start and stopping. I don't know if you're going to be able to get away with that when you go to the pros. It was working for you in college. But he's a guy I have my eye on just in case his draft name gets called on day 2.
All right. Kind of a unique, different year for running backs, really, for the so much attention on the wide receiver position, which we will be covering on Thursday with more highbrow jokes from yours truly and then more of kind of like the, wow, the on the street stuff from Jason.
Yeah, come to the streets, join me.
All right, that'll do it. Again, you can deep dive in the Dynasty Pass, ultimatedraftkit.com. Back with another show on Thursday. Take care.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.